Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm starting to get a little bit scruffy here, aren't I? Starting to get that thing back in there, ready for my next tilt, my next bout with whoever it is the Lord puts me in front of. Man, good to that was a late nighter. Michelle and I flew in too. We got in last night at, we ground at 12:46, and we had to go to get our baggage, and we had to take the bus to get our car, and then we had to drive home. I think it was about 2:15. I hit the hay. Had a real quick night's sleep, so trying to get my mind operating, working here good. Like to have all of you help us carry the show this morning. I had a great weekend in where was I? I was in Houston, Texas, and I want to be careful what I say because I just, you know, got to keep some of it under the hat. I was part of a meeting that was held down there. Ran into some great patriots and some names many of you would recognize. And we had 3 days working together to try to figure out what we're going to do here. I just sat there in amazement, really, as I was just kind of pondering. Everybody was in the room and all the issues that they had. And I sat back and I just looked at some of these guys who I've, you know, many of them I've admired my whole life. G. Edward Griffin, preacher from Jekyll Island. Admired him. He was in the room and some others that, you know, I'm not going to mention a bunch of names because it'll sound like I'm name dropping, or it will also, if I leave some of the names out, it'll sound like they weren't important. But I, all across the spectrum, I saw how total and complete and varied and ceaseless the enemy's attack is in America. Because we try to bring people together to try to figure out how we can formulate a way to fight back against it. I mean, where do you start? Do you start with food and diet, nutrition? Do you start there? Do you start with the homosexual agenda? Do you start with the fact that our money's all messed up? Do you start with usury? Do you start with Agenda 21 and one world government? Do you start with the family? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. As I'm sitting in the room, it became apparent. I wish Mark Trump would have been there because he would have brought an area that they're not even thinking about, cyber, all that stuff. And I'm thinking, man, Lord, the devil is everywhere. The devil has, as we saw on one of those days when I did the show, the Dennis Prager video, that the left destroys everything it touches. To sit there and hear Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, there, I'll say the name, is one of them. The world, in my opinion, the world expert on vaccinations, the danger of vaccinations and the impact of vaccinations. As I sat there and listened to her thinking, oh my goodness, the devil has, not only is the devil infiltrated, Craig, I saw your comment there, not only is he infiltrated, he has seized control of virtually every, he sees control of the family. He sees control of our sex lives. Well, you get what I'm saying. He sees, man, oh man. And you know what? There's no urgency. That was one of the messages that when I had a couple times to speak. There's no, hey guys, girls, how's this going to play out? Should there be an urgency right now, Larry? I'm going to give you a chance here in a minute. Over the coronavirus? Does it need to be an urgency? Or is that hyped? Is the enemy already so deep into our food? We had a guy named Stanislav Berzinski. Jared, see if you can pull that up real quick. Pull up Jared Berzinski, B-U-R-Z-Y-N-S-K-I. Berzinski. Stanislav Berzinski, the Berzinski Clinic, Jared. Berzinski, I see right up here. Stanislav Berzinski spoke to us. It was fascinating. Fascinating. Did you know that cancer, according to Dr. Stanislav Berzinski, who runs the Berzinski Medical Clinic, Cancer Clinic, wait a minute, Alternative Medicine Cancer Clinic, did you know that cancer is caused by a genetic issue? That your genes become corrupted and the genes produce these crazy cells that cause cancer? It's a genetic issue. And according to Dr. Brzezinski, the medical profession knows it. They know what causes cancer. He has the ability to cure it. He came and spoke to us about an hour twice. And the fights that he's had to have with the American Medical Association to just heal people. He takes the worst of the worst. He takes people that they've sent home to die. And Dr. Berzinski takes them in cheaply. He treats them and sends them home. No office stays, none of that stuff. Going home. And then I was talking to our, well, I got to be careful, huh? Todd Barham. That's where when we were in Houston, Michelle and I stayed with Todd and Leslie. And wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? We got there Thursday night, Friday morning. Todd wakes up and has to go to the hospital. Tremendous pain on his side. You know, he's been fighting leukemia. Listen to this one. He's been leukemia cancer-free. Todd, I'm talking about now. We know Todd. He's been cancer-free for a year. Yet they keep pumping more, and they want to do another one and another one. I'm talking about chemo treatments. Another one and another one and another one. He's been cancer-free for a year. Well, Todd gets up, and he's not feeling well. He goes in, fights it all day. I'm doing whatever I'm doing. Michelle and Leslie are running around. So they come home. They take Todd in, and he goes into the hospital, and he's got pneumonia. He's got pneumonia. They've beaten down his immune system so badly. By the way, when we left yesterday, I had lunch with Todd and Leslie, and Todd's doing good, but he still covets your prayers. And those of you out there considering him your brother, just call him, encourage him. He's been, man, oh, man, has that guy been through it. What a wonderful, wonderful, powerful, positive attitude that he has. It's amazing. But Todd knows that the doctors have isolated. He's got at least three bad genes. Genetic. Something has broken into his system and caused three faulty genetic genes in his DNA. Todd said, yeah, I knew that. Well, Dr. Stanislav Berzinski has been trying. He has fought for 25 years trying to make his alternative medicine legal, if you can believe that. It's just amazing. Just amazing. And he ran down the litany and showed pictures of people that were sent to him who were on their deathbed. Hospice sent them home. Wasn't anything could do. And in 3 months, they're back on their feet. Back on their feet. That stuff that we don't know, that there's lies everywhere. Who do we trust anymore? Who do you trust? Who do you trust? It's really what it comes down to, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not into your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And so the frustration of being in that room with all these people who are so passionate about everything they believe, they've done research on it. By the way, I'm going to have Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on with us. Say, who? Who? Yeah, she's right here in Cleveland. I didn't know that. I've read her stuff for years about the dangers of vaccinations. And I ran into Richard Mack, Sheriff Richard Mack. Sheriff Richard Mack. Listen, boys and girls, I left with this. I'm on the wrong page. I got to get these. I got to get these in the hands of everybody. Because Sheriff Richard Mack told us that the Supreme Court's already ruled. In his case, that when he was a constitutional sheriff. when the Brady bill came down, he said to the feds, I'm not enforcing that thing. Sorry, I'm not enforcing that Brady bill here in, I think he was in Arizona, where I'm not enforcing it. And of course they wanted to get him fired and sued him and everything. And he took it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. It is Mack and Prince versus USA. This is a printed copy of some critical issues regarding that Supreme Court case. And you know what the Supreme Court of the United States already determined? It's in this book. Majority decision written by Antonin Scalia. It's in the book, boys and girls. It's in the book. It went to the Supreme Court. Sheriff Mack won. You listening to me? The ultimate, I'm going to have the sheriff on, by the way. The ultimate lesser magistrate in the United States of America is the local sheriff. There is no one more powerful in America than the local sheriff. It's already been decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. They already decided it in Prince versus and Mac. I think it was a Prince case because they had to put a name on it. They put Prince on it. Listen to me. All we need is a constitutional sheriff who will go to wherever and say, no abortion in this state. No, sir. Because in this county, because I've sworn an oath to uphold life. I've sworn an oath to the Constitution. He won, friends. He won. And I sat around, I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, how have I missed this? How is this not being trumpeted from sea to shining sea? Why is Operation Save America and all of us, why are we working so hard to convince the legislature? It's the sheriff. All the sheriff. Listen, in a nutshell, the feds cannot tell a local sheriff what to enforce. Cannot do it unless it is clearly delineated rights in the Constitution. The feds can pass a marriage amendment all they want to. It does not impact the county. Doesn't impact it. I'm going to have Sheriff Mack on to explain all that stuff. It's a liberty. I don't want to call it liberty movement. Folks, we are. What's the opposite of liberty? We're under a tyranny movement. The tyranny. Always having to get permission from the government to do whatever it is you want to do. And that's not the way it is. Our Constitution is a bottom up. It's not a top down. That's why this sheriff, the constitutional sheriff, is the most powerful position in America. The local sheriff. It's proven.
Hey, how do we get a copy of that?
Well, I'm going to get old Sheriff Mack and
without permission of the government. How many things will you do today without permission of the government? How many?
Not many, Jack. Not many. And the sheriff's got a lot. I mean, they won the case, okay? And basically the case says this. The feds are allowed to tell you what to do, provided it is a constitutional issue. But if the feds tell you you can't have guns, it's the duty of the sheriff to step in, tell the feds to go pound sand. Because it is a God-given right, unalienable right. I know you think I'm crazy.
Interposition.
Interposition is the ultimate interposition. And in this little book, it quotes right from the Supreme Court decision, tells us that the different governments will control each other. There are specific areas the feds are allowed to operate, specific areas the states are allowed to operate, and specific areas, by the way, where the locals are allowed to operate, and the locals trump them all if it's some order that comes. See, it comes down to this. The federal government has no right to control the local police and make the police, make the local sheriff enforce a law that's contrary to the Constitution. Ninth Amendment, 10th, I don't get bogged down on it. It blew my mind. It blew my mind when I read what what Scalia had written, what is written in the decision. We don't hardly know anything about it. But the Constitution protects us from our own best interests. The federal government may not compel the states to enact or administer a federal regulatory program. So if the feds pass a bill saying you're not allowed to have guns, the sheriffs don't have to enforce the feds' edict. The states have their own rights. I'll get the sheriff in here. By the way, that was a sad story as well, because Sheriff Mack, I've known the name well for about 10 years, however long this case was. He's going around trying to wake up the constitutional sheriffs. And he's back teaching school. He's teaching school, teaching history. Because he said just all of a sudden, it went for about 6 years, and all of a sudden the air went out of it. And he said it's the most critical decision in the history of the United States in regards to where we are right now. The constitutional sheriffs could turn this whole mess around. So Matt Truella and all those guys talking about the doctrine, the lesser magistrates, the sheriffs sitting at the top of the heap. We're gonna have him on. So let me reel myself back in here a second, okay? Pray for Todd. Pray for Todd Barn. Just pray for him. Call him if you have his number. Call him and encourage him. He's doing great. We ate lunch together yesterday. He was walking around. He's mobile. He's good. But see what they do with chemotherapy. He has been cancer free for a year. Todd's been having treatments, cancer. He has no leukemia. He doesn't have it anymore. Cancer-free for a year. What do? They give you chemotherapy, and it breaks down your immune system. In there, let me use this illustration. They use chemotherapy to make your immune system work out. They break it down, and then you got to rebuild it. They break it down, and then you got to rebuild it. Well, every time they break it down, your immunity is almost zero. You get pneumonia from simple colds, right? I didn't get it. Todd's cancer-free, and, you know, he's probably going to rebuild our system is what they tell us. They tell us that chemotherapy ultimately will, whatever. So Todd's working on all that stuff, but he's in the hospital now. He's in the hospital. And so pray for him. Pray for Mike Heath's dad. In fact, just pray for the Heaths. Just pray for the Heaths family. Will you? Polly's gone through her chemotherapy. Mike's made two trips in the last, I don't know how many, in the last month, 3 weeks, 10 days. Driven all the way down to his father's dying. His dad is on his deathbed. Mike's dad. Mike, he lives in Florida. And Mike has driven to Florida twice in the last, I think, last 10 days. And they think it's the end coming now. Yeah, Mike says he's commuting to Florida. The stress on the Heath family is beyond what we even know. And let's lift them up. I just saw Polly says she has another chemotherapy coming up here this week. And oh Lord, I want to thank Chad Estes. I don't know if Chad's in here or not, Chad. Because the event that I went to, I don't want to call it the event, because of the meeting I went to in Austin, was in Houston. I invited Chad to come with me. He's coming to be part of it, and he did. And he came down. He spent 2 days down there with me, and he was just as frustrated as I was in quite a bit of frustration. How do I say this without it sounding arrogant? I told Chad on Friday night, God bless the people in the meeting. God bless them. God bless them. It came long ways to be there. God bless them. Not being critical. I'm evaluating the films. I felt like this. I felt like I'm already storming Normandy Beach. I'm already out there climbing up Normandy Beach. And everybody else in the room is in the Pentagon making plans. Does that make sense? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? I just feel like, as far as activity and action, they're so far behind us. And it's just a great frustration to me. But I have to understand that there's an awakening. There's an awakening. But there's not an urgency. I mean, there is an urgency, but there's not an urgency. Somebody help me out. How close are we to November? What is today? Today, we're almost to March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. 9 months, is that right? 9 months till November? We have to have an urgency about what's going on, an urgency. And there's an awakening going up. And like I said, the devil has kept us so occupied and so busy. Diet, nutrition, homosexuality, pornography. There are so many fronts open in this war that we haven't become unified on what to do. And that was my frustration sitting there with Chad. And Chad, I know, is really, really frustrated too, because like I said, we're already on the beach. We're already there saying, God, thank goodness you're awake, but come on, charge, charge. And the great, really, I'm just scrolling down the names here. See, who's the Chad.
Well, Dave.
Yeah, are you? Yeah, Chad.
Yes, Chad. One of the things, just overall with all the stuff you listed, okay, you can see that there are many, many fronts. And I mean that because, see, instead of us trying to say, well, I'm not going to take a vaccine or I'm not going to eat GMO food, I'm going to go all natural or whatever, I'm going to go around it. See, that's what we're doing. We're capitulating. We're trying to find loopholes to operate in the system rather than going back and taking back the system.
That's right, Chad. Rather than going and smacking them in the mouth and say, you're not going to give me those vaccinations, we try to find a way to get around it.
Yeah, right? Let's make the vaccinations illegal. Let's make the GMO food illegal. Let's make these, let's go that route. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so the theme that we came out of the meeting with was this. Sounds kind of hackneyed, but our theme is, let's restore the republic. Let's restore the republic. And we really think that one of the directions to go is, if we can get everybody to understand the whole sheriff issue, a lot of this stuff goes away. If you get a good constitutional sheriff, a lot of this stuff goes away. Say listen, you're not doing drag queens in my county. No, you're not doing drag queens in the libraries in my county. No, I'm the sheriff. My job is to protect the people. No, and the problem goes away.
We need more laws? That's part of the problem. We need to enact. We need to operate. We need a sheriff, as you're saying, to enforce the laws. We gave away the 10 laws to get 100 million laws because you can't make more laws to make people moral.
That's right. And so we're going to have to decide when we elect a constitutional sheriff, as we talked about, what's the platform that he's going to stand upon? And they decided that we're going to push more and more the Bill of Rights. People don't understand the Bill of Rights. It's all right there in the Bill of Rights, what they can and can't do and the limitation of government. So I was encouraged, although, as I said, I felt like I'm already storming the gates of Normandy and they're in the Pentagon drawing up plans for the war. But praise God, they are. And we made some real progress. And Chad, I'll talk to you later about how. Well, let me just say this real quick so you get it. I sort of blew my top on what night was that, Chad? Friday night? I sort of blew my top. And I blew my top. You guys have been around me. You know what it's like when my top blows. And I just got up and just kind of said my piece for about 5 minutes, maybe 7 minutes. I don't know. I just laid it out then, whacked them about no urgency and blah, blah, blah. I don't even know what I said. But this amazing thing happened.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jack.
Oh, this is Gary. Just thinking. The pastors, and I know we harp on this all the time on the show, were doing what they were supposed to be doing, leading the flocks. One of the things that they could be doing would be calling people out in terms of what is it that you are passionate about on all these fronts that we're talking about. Some it'll be abortion, some would be the homosexual thing, some of it would be GMO food, some would be monetary, our money system and whatnot. And everybody could be storming the beach if they had their passions called out and were being equipped to take action.
But here's what has to happen, Gary. We have to have the people, the flocks, have got to drag the pastors or get a new pastor. That's the only way that it can happen.
Coach, I had a conversation with Flip Benham about this very subject, and he just looked at me and said, Dale, the ultimate lower magistrate is the power of the people. We are the lower magistrate.
We are it, man. We are it. The sheriff's right above us, Dale. It's we are it. And see, all this stuff that we're hearing about, GMO, all this stuff, the sheriff can say, not in this county. Sorry, not in this county. You're not going to sell that stuff here.
But it's going to come from people first. And that's what Trump's inaugural speech, that speech is the only one I've ever listened to three times. Hmm. He said, he's turning it over to you people. If you people do it, he will enforce it. He can't do it. The federal government has no authority over you. You have to take authority, and the federal government will do what it's told. The United States has nothing to do with you. It only limits the government. Stop.
Sheriff Max said, if a constitutional sheriff's doing what he wants to do, that if the IRS comes after you, constitutional sheriff, I'll tell him to pound sand, get out of my county. Because what you're doing is not constitutional. Despite what they tell you, it is not constitutional. Now, if the IRS wants to bring their own police in there, can do it. But you ain't going to get any help from us locally. You're not going to do it.
And the sheriff, at that point, the sheriff can deputize every person in that county or parish.
I'm telling you, Dale. So after I read my riot act, I don't know, Chad, if that's what you would call it. I'm going to quit talking about me in a second. Hang on. After I read my riot act, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep because I thought, Lord, I just blew it. I just blew it. Because, you know, they're in the Pentagon and I'm on the front line and they don't have any idea what's like out here in Normandy Beach. And they're back at the Pentagon. They're doing the best they can. And I just flipped over the tables. Couldn't sleep all Friday night. And on Saturday morning, I got up and thought, I don't even know if I want to go back. Because I don't know how I'm going to receive it. And so I was driving. I finally said, yeah, I'm not going to run from it. I'm not going to run from it. And I was driving alone in my car, in the rental car, driving back to the Brzezinski Clinic where we're holding everything. And I'm telling you, the devil's beating me up. You shouldn't have said this, and you shouldn't have said that, and you're always getting too loud, and you're always running your mouth, and you shouldn't, on and on and on and on and on. And I pulled into the Brzezinski Clinic, and I parked my car. I'm telling you the truth. And as clear, the Holy Spirit said to me, the accuser of the brethren. That's all he said to me. The accuser of the brethren. And I thought, oh, my Lord, I've been listening to their own voice. Remember, my sheep hear my voice and another voice they will not hear. Well, the accuser of the brethren had hammered me for about 12 hours. When I heard that from the Holy Spirit, I got out of the car and I said to myself, I ain't backing down. And I walked back into that room where all those people were, and to a man and to a woman, they said, oh, we so needed that, coach. Oh, thank you for that. We so needed that kick in the butt. So so it ended on a good note. It all ended on a good note. And I was able to speak the truth. That's what I wanted to do more than anything, speak the truth to influential people, and I believe I was able to do that. Cool. Comments, questions?
So what's Trump say all the time? They're not coming after me. They're coming after us.
They're coming after us. And I got to tell you this also. Am I going to say that, Lord? I'm going to say it. I don't know of another way to say it. I am sick in my stomach that Trump promoted homosexuality again. I'm sick in my stomach. Sick of it. And I'm sick in my stomach with, careful how I say it, a lot of things about Trump that makes me sick to my stomach that I seem to do. A lot of them. I'm not a blind Trump follower, as people are trying to tell me. But I don't know why we can't open our eyes and understand. Trump just promoted homosexuality. Makes me sick. Hang on a minute. How many pastors do you know doing the same thing?
Every one of them, Coach.
I'm going to let that sink in again. You Trump bashers out there. How many pastors do you know who are silent about homosexuality and promoting it by their silence? And is it the job of Donald Trump to flip over homosexuality, or is it the job of the pulpit to flip over homosexuality? See, to me, it's very, very clear. Very, very
clear.
Hey,
Coach.
I think he's missing the mark because nobody's saying anything to him about it. That's what I think. Yeah, Trent.
If America is governed by the consent of the people, that would mean the people with the loudest voice he's going to listen to. So if the sodomites keep screaming, "We want it," and the Christians are sitting in the pew not doing nothing and making their voices heard, what's he going to do?
That's right. Well, again, it comes back to the we the people, right? We the people. Why do we think that we have to sit around and have the king make an edict?
Hey, Coach. Silence is consent.
Silence is consent. Silence is consent. Hey, listen, I'm not making an excuse for him, okay? It's the same thing I said. It's not the government's job to end homosexuality. It's the church's job. It's not the government's job to end abortion. It's the church's job. All of these things that we're expecting Reverend Donald Trump to do, it's not Reverend Donald Trump's job to do it.
It's our job, Coach. It's our job.
It's our job. It's our job to do it.
And the church is us. The church is not a building. I looked all this up. The church isn't a building. We are the church. We
are the influencers. We are the influencers. And the Christian church is split. Can I tell you the truth? It's split on homosex. The church is split on homosex. And I watched those holier-than-thou people criticize the fact that Trump promoted homosexuality to the world. Just named, if I'm right, a new, what do they call the ambassador or whatever, some guy who's an open homosexual. Trump just appointed him to a powerful position and trying to legalize homosexuality around the world. And it sucks and it stinks, but it is not Trump's job.
Coach, before
the church's job. Pastors won't even speak out against it. Pastors won't.
Because we promoted it way before Trump did. We promoted
it. Amen. The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
And those pastors that are surrounding Donald Trump in the Oval Office, and we see pictures of them all the time, laying hands on him and praying. Are they telling him no to sodomy? Are they telling him that? Now listen, I could go farther than that, but I'm not going to do it because I don't want to get banned on YouTube and banned on Facebook. Not that I'm afraid to be banned on that, okay? We're going to start saying, doing some things and saying some things that we're not going to pull any punches on, but we're going to have to hide them on our own website because Facebook and YouTube won't let them do them. But I'm here to tell you that Donald Trump is promoting homosexuality because the church hasn't told him not to. That's my take.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
And it all comes down to personal responsibility, folks. If we're not all learning, if we're not all going forward, we're going behind. It's our personal stand. Learn your rights. If you don't know your rights, you don't have any. If you don't exercise your rights, you don't have any.
Yeah, and Jack, they've convinced us we don't. That's the problem. They've convinced us we don't. Okay, so listen.
Coach,
go ahead.
Can I say one thing about this how we look at things? This whole controversy, take it away from the sodomites, go to Greyhound Bus. All of a sudden, Greyhound is saying you can't have Border Patrol come on and inspect our buses. Well, my Christian friends are going, "Oh, that's terrible, that's terrible, that's terrible." Wait a minute, you morons. It's an invasion of privacy. That's a private company. Are you okay with having the Border Patrol come up on your lawn and asking the people having a picnic with you if they're legal or illegal? I ask them a question when they do that. Oh, wait a minute. You want to know if I'm a U.S. citizen? Can you define citizen for me, please? And then I'll let you know. They leave because they don't have answers. Ask questions. Learn to ask questions.
My people are destroyed. Why, Jack?
The lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
Dave.
So, yeah, Rod.
Oh, I think with the, you know, what he's done with the pastors, it's rather simple. He's given them abortion, and they've remained quiet on homosexuality.
You wonder, don't you? Huh? Roger, I wonder, I'm just telling you the truth. I wonder if the pastors even wanted abortion. And I mean, I don't know. Did Donald Trump on his own decide abortion's wicked? Did he just kind of say, you know, that's pretty wicked? Or did he get the pastors telling him it was wicked? Now on his own, I would think he would be able to realize homosex, sodomy is wicked. I would think. But evidently he's got a bunch of Christians around him telling him it's okay. It's all right. A lot of people do it, Donald. Mr. President, a lot of people accept homosexuality. Well, Mr. President, a lot of denominations are ordaining, and this is a human rights issue, Mr. President. And you know, there's confusion in the church. We don't really know where the church stands on it, Mr. President. But we think it would probably do very well if we just took a position on human rights and the humans. And that's what I think's going on. I hate it. I hate his promotion of homosex. I hate it. Of sodomy. I hate it. But not his fault. And my squeaky wheel gets the grease. Hey, Jeff Klein, how are things up at Kenyon? Because I know you guys went up there. Jeff and a crew went up there to Kenyon College, and I want to hear from some of you how that thing went. Why? Because look, it's everywhere. See, homosex is everywhere. And I don't know if you've known this or not. They have to recruit. The devil has to plant the thoughts of homosexuality in the minds of children. And they've been so successful that the average Christian, listening to me, will not raise their voice in a public setting against it. And we want the president to end sodomy, and we won't. We won't. So they're promoting sodomy at Kenyon College. Hey, Jeff, just curious, how many pastors showed up with? I know, hey, wait a minute, Jeff. I know President Trump couldn't come. He and Mike Pence, they were both busy that weekend, or they certainly would have been there at Kenyon College. But because they couldn't come, you guys were President Trump's representatives, right? How many pastors were with you, Jeff?
We had two.
Oh! How many churches in Madison, in Knox County, you think?
127 in the county.
Cool. And two of them came. Well, good, man. We got them on the run now.
The one pastor was from Coshocton County. Pastor Billy wasn't even from our county.
Oh, so one county. Okay. One pastor. All right. That daggone.
We had another one show up.
Hang on, Jeff. That daggone Trump. He wants to promote homosexuality. That daggone Trump. It's all his fault. That President Trump. Look, he's spreading homosex everywhere. That daggone Trump. That daggone President Trump. Hey, they're spreading homosexuality in Knox County. One shows up. That daggone Trump. This is all Trump's fault. One shows up. Go ahead, Jeff.
It was chaotic, Coach. It was crazy. We had David Arthur drove 1,000 miles down here from Maine. So Pastor Bill and David were both, and what's crazy is we got there, they already were ready for us. They would not allow us to be on Middle Path in Gambier, the Middle Path strip.
Can you believe that they would treat anybody other than Christians like that? Wake up. Can't you see what's going on? That a bunch of Christians show up and they tell you you're not allowed here. Can you imagine if you were doing something and the homos showed up and the cops told them they couldn't be there? That would never happen, would it? Blacks not allowed here. No, we're not allowed any blacks. No black. That would never ever happen. Christians are, you're not allowed here. Thank you, sir. A daggone President Trump. Oh, it's his fault. Go ahead, Jeff.
So what they did is told us we can't be on Middle Path. So Pastor Bill and I said work.
Middle Path. That goes through the middle of campus. Middle Path, Kenyon College, Gambier, Ohio, Knox County, Ohio. Go ahead, Jeff.
So what it is the two roads go down through there with the Middle Path, right down through the main drag where all the kids walk. So they told us we had to go to the outer sidewalks, which ended up being a blessing. We thanked them after that because all the kids come from the campus buildings right to this coffee shop. Pastor Bill said, you mean we can stand in front of that coffee shop They said, yeah, that's public sidewalk. And it's a big area right there. So we stood in front of that coffee shop, Pastor Bill on the bullhorn. He was preaching, and there's no sound ordinance down there because they have bad concerts. Yeah.
Jared, great job. Jared's got it up on, he's got it up on Google Maps on the, thanks.
There's our corner.
There's our corner. They let you stand there, huh? But you weren't allowed, you weren't allowed to go down where the people were, though, but they had to come to you.
But hundreds and hundreds of them go right there. They're just walking by us constantly. All of them loving homosexuality. The middle path there, you see where that is. Then all of a sudden, all the rainbow people, all the rainbow stuff, they come on middle path. They're allowed there.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to check all this out and see if that's truly Gambier owned middle path. They middle say path, it is. But street preachers in the past have been on middle path right there. But now all of a sudden, not allowed there. So we're going to check it out. Pastor Bill said, now, okay, what we'll do is if it's we're allowed there, then we're going to go over there and make them force us off.
Well, here's the question. Your local sheriff should have come and told Kenyon College, sorry. Sorry, they're allowed here. First Amendment, they're allowed here.
That's why I'm trying to get Daniel Weckesser for sheriff because he's a Christian and he's a constitutionalist and get Schaefer out of there because Schaefer made the statement, well, sometimes we get caught in the middle. The law of the land. That's what he says.
There is no gray area on it. There is no gray area. Anyways,
David Arthur was on the bullhorn. Pastor Bill handed the bullhorn to David Arthur. And man, he started giving his testimony through the bullhorn. I'm telling you, it was crazy. These people were so angry and so hateful. It was just nonstop for 2 hours. Just hatred. If you got some of the guys listening, Roger and Gary Pierce and them guys, have them give their input because they're ready to go back. And we're going back March 21st.
March 21st. Somebody else, Rods, you want to give a testimony?
Yeah, I'll quickly say what, again, fellowship was great. Again, invigorated by being around men with like mind. But I think what you must convey to a lot of people is because they always look at us as, oh, those crazy people. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The pastor and David reeled them in, and there was about 10 of us behind them about 4 or 5 feet. And we had 2 hours of all types of conversations concerning Christ, concerning paganism, concerning gay lifestyle, concerning transgenderism. There was ministry going on as Pastor Bill and Dave and a few others through the megaphone would reel them in. I was very pleased by the entire event. The number of conversations. Now, we planted seeds. That may have been all, but they knew we were there and they knew Christ reigned and they knew that he was the King of Kings.
You mean I don't want to be, I'm too sarcastic as it is. What about President Trump? Shouldn't President Trump be there, Kenyon College, stopping it? Shouldn't he be there? Shouldn't he send Jared Kushner down there? Shouldn't President Trump stop it? How many pastors came again, Jeffy?
2, and we're not inviting any more.
Huh? Right?
We'll just get the Christian people. We'll get the people.
Yeah, now listen, no, those pastors would have been there if Trump hadn't been supporting it. Soon as Trump started supporting it, those pastors said, okay, well, he's the president, we're going to follow him, right? That's the way it works. You're smarter than that.
Hey, Coach.
I'm up to my eyeballs with it, how stupid we are. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, it's our responsibility once again. It's all very
simple. Our job, Vinny. It's our job.
We have.
Amen.
Let me take this a different way. I'm not going to derail the conversation, but this. Why we're doing it. This is why we're doing it. There's an inmate in California yesterday who killed two child molesters, one after the other. You want to know why he did that? Because these freaks sat down right in front of the other inmates and watched children's TV. They watched kids' shows right in front of the inmates. You tell me we're in clown world right now where inmates, child molesters, are actually feeling free to watch kids' shows in front of other inmates. They're not afraid anymore. We have to bring back shame and ridicule, and we win.
Hey, Vinny, listen, I want to say this, though. Kyle at Right Wing Watch gets this. Hey, Kyle, Vinny's black. All right? Vinny's black. So it ain't a bunch of us white racists doing it. Vinny is black, all
Wake
right?
Wake up, my people, save our land. Right, Kyle? You stupid. Ooh.
Hey, Vinny, I just. Hey, so what do we see now? Hey, Jared, pull up what the thing that says butt plug on it. It says butt plug. I got to tie this together. Yeah, I got to tie this. Yeah, Mayor, I'm sorry, butt fudge. Butt fudge. I'm going to start calling him butt fudge. Got that, Kyle? Butt fudge. Pete butt fudge. This was a stage thing if it wasn't ever anything. At the latest debate, a nine-year-old boy comes up to butt plug and butt fudge and says, oh, I'm nine. And I think I like boys. And how do you come out? How do you come out? And so the media says, oh, my goodness. What a brave young man. And you know what? 50 years ago, they'd have thrown butt fudge in jail for even bringing it up and talking about it in front of a young kid. Right? You with me? Oh, yeah, butt fudge. Oh, he's so brave. Everybody clap for this guy, little boy. Oh, we're so messed up. We're so messed up. And butt fudge is
fucking right there, Coach. That's the perfect example right there, Coach. You or me or an individual should have said to the sheriff, get that person out of here. They are violating the moral code of our lives.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. See, we got to begin to think differently. But Jack, we have such a very short time to be able to do it. Did you guys see this? Pete Buttfudge gives advice to a nine-year-old boy. How do I come out and tell everybody I'm gay? You're so brave, Mayor Pete. You did it. How do I do that? And Mayor Pete says, oh, you've already done it. You're so brave. Whatever happened to shame? Whatever happened? Why didn't his mommy put him in a headlock and drag him off the court? Where's his daddy?
He was probably molested by either mom or dad or some relative, brother, because what is a nine-year-old doing engaging in any kind of sexual activity because it's illegal under any state law? Homosexuality, sick as it is, where does this thought come from this child? Chances are he was molested.
Contributing to the delinquency of a minor, presidential candidate contributing to the delinquency of a minor, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Something there?
Yep.
Okay. We're all on the same page on this stuff because these are all moral issues. If you're going to win this, you're going to have to include the constitutional issues. Otherwise, you only become the crazy moral Christians that are trying to shove it down our throats. If we include the other constitutional issues, the other invasions of privacy, the other degradation of rights, then they lose. We take the fire, we take the ammunition away from them. But we've got this thing where we want this wall. We're only doing the religious stuff. We're not doing the law stuff. If we have to include it both. Otherwise, we're dismissed as a bunch of crazy Christians.
Yeah. Well, that's the point, Jack, that I made last week about all that hard work that Dale and all those guys put in down there in Oklahoma to ban abortion. And then we know what happens. Then the big money donors call the elected officials and say, don't pay any attention to those. Those people are radical. They don't represent the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Loving and tolerant and diverse, and we wouldn't, the body of Christ, Jesus wouldn't be out there holding signs and acting like that. You just go ahead and you just keep the status quo, and those of us who are the real Christians with the real money, we're still behind you. That's what happens.
I went to watch the Charlie Brown movement again. I did not. I just sat there and I said, this is, here it comes. Lucy's going to yank that football out from underneath Charlie Brown. Because I've been that route. I went there because I was asked to go, but I knew it was going to happen.
Hey, don't you think it's more likely that Jesus would be spending the night weaving and making a whip to go in there and said, you have made my father's house a den of sexual iniquity. Get the hell out.
I think so, Larry. Hey, Larry, real quickly, give us, Robert, you get ready. Larry, give us a couple minutes on the coronavirus. What the heck's going on, man?
Well, I just want to touch real quickly just on the United States Center for Disease Control role in this mess. If you go to the CDC website, you can find out and read what I'm about to say is right there on their website. They have from the beginning restricted the availability or the qualifications to even receive a test to confirm whether you have coronavirus or not. They have restricted that from the very beginning to such a degree that there is no way on earth that the CDC is concerned about how many people are getting this and what the disposition of those people eventually is. You don't even get tested by the CDC unless you first develop symptoms bad enough that you go to a doctor and ask for help. Then if you have symptoms that are in line with the coronavirus, then the doctor determines whether you were in China in the last 14 days. If you weren't in China in the last 14 days, he determines, have you been in close contact with somebody who has already been confirmed to have the virus?
Larry, do you have any idea how many people I passed by in the airport yesterday? I was in the Houston airport. I was in the Austin, not the Austin, the Orlando airport. I was in the Columbus airport. You have any idea how many people I've, oh my goodness, my goodness.
Yeah, click on testing there, Jared. Click on testing on the CDC website. So only certain people even qualify to be tested. Then the test kits the CDC sent out to the states, only three states got good test kits. The other 47 states got test kits that didn't work.
Folks, listen, bottom line, get yourself some food and some water and some prep. Just get yourself. We don't know what's going on with. Again, I'm not being critical, Larry, because Larry's really been studying this thing. We don't know if we're getting good data. Who knows? But it appears to me something is going to happen. See, they could call for a quarantine in America and the disease not even be real. We don't know.
I put a link to an 11-minute video I did last night in the chat, and the point you just made is it. We have no idea whose or which data is even close to that. We just don't know.
Amen. Go ahead, Mark.
Coach, I was talking with a lady, about this last night, and there was concern. This is an opportunity to evangelize people.
Yes, it is.
I asked her questions, and she was a really smart lady. So I kept going, and I told her I was a risk analyst. I'm going to put my risk hat on. And this is what we all should do as a minimum. All right? Think about someone you love. Think about them getting it. All right? Now, what do you do? This is called a scenario. So you go through that. Are you prepared for a loved one who gets it? More importantly, are your loved ones prepared for if you get it? Have you prepared them for what to do for you? And that mental exercise, and if you follow through on some steps, will just get you a little bit ahead of it when it comes, if it comes.
Amen. Good word, Mark. Good word. Prevention's worth a pound of cure. And, you know, Ted Brewer and those guys say, man, amp up your immune system now. Amp it up. Get yourself some food. Get yourself some water. Be prepared. I'm running out of time. 7:55. Go ahead, Robert. February 24th.
All right. Well, you know, there's one battle that we can win, and that is evangelism. That's what we're commanded to do, and that's where we're promised victory. Might not get a sheriff to do his job, but Jesus will do his job.
Amen.
When we do our job.
Amen.
Okay. So how shall I feel to judgment if multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full review and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride?
Wow. Go, Robert. Go, man.
Good news evangelism. How about this method for evangelism? The greatest evangelist said it this way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. So there's more than just preaching the gospel. They're setting free. In Scripture, it is written, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him.
Yes, sir.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful yes. deeds among all the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. So there we see the good news in the Old Testament. The good news of the kingdom of God and the unique and only saving name of Jesus Christ should be preached to all those whom the Lord is drawing, whom the Spirit is convicting, and whom God is teaching. The only kind of evangelism that will reverse the downward spiral of progressive, feel-good, self-centered contemporary Christianity that is so attractive to millennials will be biblical evangelism.
Amen.
That is evangelism that demonstrates the life-changing and supernatural power of God, reconciling sinners to the holy God. They will experience the true peace of God and will be motivated to accomplish the purposes of God. They will rely on the full provision of God and claim the great and magnificent promises of God. They will see no value or reason to compromise the truth, to tolerate evil, to live in sin, nor to embrace powerless religion,
Amen.
Church growth marketing, or pop theology. They will no longer be impressed by feel-good spirituality, nor give lip service to religious traditions of men. They will reject Satan's not-so-good news, preferring the Savior's good news instead. They will carry the cross on their back rather than just wear the cross of an effortless Christianity around their neck.
Amen.
They want the real thing and will thus experience lasting revival. They will stand on true grace rather than fall for modern-day hyper-grace.
Amen.
So that's the good news.
Hyper-grace, defined as cheap grace, grace that costs us nothing. You know, we here at Coach Dave Live, we don't make fun of grace. We don't make fun of it. We try to explain it as something other than just God's blessing upon you to give you, make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's so much deeper than that. Don't have time to go into it now. So, hey, I'm heading today to, as soon as I get off here, to Worthington Kilbourne for, I get to be in front of about 150, 200 high school seniors today again. So I just pray that you guys would just pray for me because, whoo, the demons will come out at that place. I promise you that. And just pray that we're able to open the eyes of young people to exactly what's going on, that the Lord would give me the words. And I shine best when I am able to crystallize an argument in an understandable way. So just be praying that I'm able to do that today. And we're fighting a fight, and there's a lot of good kids out there who just need some direction. And just pray that the Holy Spirit be upon me. Pray for Todd Barham. Give him a call. Those of you who got his number somewhere, he's doing okay. He can talk to you and all that kind of stuff. But hey, man, we all need encouragement. Pray for Mike and Polly. And God, just a lot going on. And man, the devil never rests. He never rests. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. Weapons are warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. Let's be about our Father's business and pull down some strongholds. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.